you don't want anything viewed on YouTube, I can switch to view.
Okay. Okay.
You want me to do that?
What is it? Is a view just on?
Whatever you put up here.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
You sure? Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to do this stuff just to see.
Switch to view.
Down in the middle, we just started again, like the game, and started the game.
Shoot, cut out.
Okay.
I'm not going to touch anything. I know now what was changed and what worked, because she could see the B works and A does not at all. So she showed me. So I just made sure, I didn't make any changes, I just made sure that there was a B instead of an A.
I'll be right back.
Jamie Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier.
That dang message.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. He just got in from crabbing at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. There's no crabbing.
Right, yeah.
Everything, you see the voices. So,
Better go out of here till the good starts.
Either way, I know what you...
I still have vacation brain, and it's been one of those days. I have no idea how I got what I got done. I don't know what I did yet.
There you go. Ain't nothing wrong with that either.
You can be in business.
I mean, I ballparked it around that, but I mean, that's getting used dredge and sort of piecing it together. I mean, if you want to go brand new, you're looking at probably 30 to 60 million.
I mean, shoot, why not? If we're going to spend the money, we might as well spend it.
It depends. It's very scalable.
Man, this is different.
This meeting is being recorded. This meeting is being transcribed.
It was training, testing for law enforcement.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a test at the end of this meeting for you all. And yeah. Pay close attention.
I'll be as good as I did on the rest of them.
What's going on, man?
There was a whole lot of not knowing. How about you? Everybody working on the credit. Are we going around and serving the pop throw?
No, that's you. I'm going to try and get some. Hopefully, in the next week.
There's a few down there. A load of fruit on
it. I heard it. Yeah, I heard about it. Yeah. I heard it catching a few out of the shade just around the edge of the
center. Still got them all up to
be alive.
It's
funny watching the water temperature just in the creek at home. They're like last night when they're down 3 or 4 degrees.
They will. They will. I'm way there. I've been looking at y'all feel like. I'm a stinger. It's broken.
Yeah.
Been broken too much. Yeah. And I'm way there. It warms up. It goes up 2 degrees. It goes down 2 degrees.
Especially
if
it's like last night. Yeah. Yeah. It
must be good. Measure it right on the surface like that.
Yeah. And I think it's cold so long. It's cold all the way. There ain't no water to flip.
Good point.
I mean, that's fine. It'll be a bad thing. I hope not. I hope they don't all show up at one time.
Yeah.
But we got no control over that.
No, we don't. Hey, I'll get something going. Place for everything now.
That's been one of my main things about getting started. And some years, I know if I spend a week just walking around,
I know.
Okay, but now it's.
Especially
the past few couple months.
Yep. Yeah. Hell yeah. It's been terrible. Oh, some people had some terrible ideas. You find it real quick, energy efficient, your house is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andrew, I like the setup. Everybody can take notes.
Yeah, I told him there's a test afterwards.
Everybody figure out how many bushels you can collect in your backyard and we'll all come together.
Hold on, Bob.
Changes that we can do. Update. Yeah. You know, just to make sure that everybody knows what's going on.
too good. I mean, everybody's been drilling out. It was 10 o'clock, everybody gone. I mean, it was still very good, I think. Yep, holds up good. Some strike, you know, and some low wounds in places, so that's good. It is. You look, you can't hardly see the end of the damn area. It's so far.
We're having a puncture. Wow.
They had them all set up like this out here. Wouldn't have a ton of people, so go ahead and leave them.
Individual workshops.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll probably get the brainstorm.
Break into teams.
There's
12 or 15 boats there, so that kept him at right now. Potomac was equipped with our life brother this year, which has been bad. That was another 12 or 15 boats stayed up there. And James is so good, a bunch of boats stayed down there. You know, it's really good. Yep. We never had a problem with any. I never seen a corral anywhere. People working in a group, you know. You can pretty much drop the judge over water anywhere and catch five boats of five.
Which one that would be fantastic.
It's good. It's good. Good oyster, yeah.
Everybody gets spoiled great too.
Yeah.
With the other of that. And
oh, yeah. Yeah. Horn dogs went offshore and then.
Yeah, they run away. I think I heard they're catching somebody walking in it now.
Okay, they are.
Normally they come back for the next winter, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that went like a light switch.
It did. It's amazing. When it got cold, they hauled it.
I know fish do that, but it went from, they went down there ways and off, but it went from something to nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to catch some fish to make the money there. Cover how many was the cost of it.
Fun at last day we fished, and I don't know the correlation between all of it, but we were off there fishing, and the little razor bills and little penguin looking birds all day long streaming them head south.
Bad.
And went back next day and they knew what was going on.
Yeah.
survival suit?
I took mine with me.
He's in the survival suit? But not a bag.
If it's not in a bag, it's probably in somebody.
Does Dan have one?
I mean, there were so many people here.
You could tell the brand, but
you could tell who's the brand.
Yeah, is there a name on it? Maybe it's got a hopefully it's not from a
commercial
business.
Sweet.
Call.
Silver.
Key.
Okay. Well, you haven't been over there yet, but we'll be there soon.
Before we start, you don't.
Participants are waiting in the lobby. To admit all participants in the lobby, press 1, 2, 1. You are no longer muted.
Is that Don on the line there? We got someone on?
Yeah, it's me, Andrew.
Okay, we're going to get started here in a couple minutes. There's a few folks stuck in traffic, and we're close to a corner.
Okay.
Here, so a couple minutes there.
All right, no problem.
Well, you've made it to the right place. I'm going to put you back on mute here.
All right, then.
Yeah. Everybody heard a boat slow down and then heard her turn. I got him up and watched like the captain. He's like, where are we going? They came out. Roger that. Now we're back on bunk.
Gotten a few folks in the traffic there, but we're just waiting for one more person and we'll officially have our corner get started.
My apologies. Sorry to waste anyone's time.
No worries. I think there was a couple folks in traffic there, but I think now that you're here, we're officially out of quorum. So.
Let's get started.
There we go. You good?
You are good no longer muted.
You ready, Jamie? All right.
Good afternoon. Thank you, everybody, for being here. This is the March 24th, 2026, Shellfish Management Advisory Committee meeting at Virginia Marine Resources Commission in Fort Monroe. We'll get started with introductions with folks on the phone, please.
I think we just have Dan there. Dan, you there?
Don Porter, I'm here, Andrew.
Okay, all right, excuse me, just Don. I think Dan's not going to be joining us, so just Don Porter. Yeah.
I'm
going to
start us in the room.
Charlie McKellum. Ben Johnson.
J.C. Hudgens.
Jackie Shannon.
Lee Deal.
Corey Rice.
All right. We were going to add one thing to the agenda under other business. Just you guys have approved that. There's been a couple of requests that have come in for the committee just to weigh in on any potential season extensions. Some folks had asked about Area 9 and the upper Rappahannock to Yantong area there, and we had a couple calls. I just wanted to get any SMAC opinion on that so we can add that to other business.
Okay,
with that, looking for approval of the agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay? Motion carries. Approval of minutes. Motion for that?
Approve. Motion to approve.
JC?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay? That also carries. So we'll move to item number four, discussions of revisions of the 2026 ORP.
All right, well, I'll jump right into that. And what I'd like to do is give folks, I think I gave a little bit of background over the phone there. Hey, Don, do you mind putting *6 on your phone, and that'll mute you there? And then if you want to say anything, hit *6 again. Just getting a little echo. All right, got it. And then what I'd like to do is sort of give you a little bit of overview of why we're here. I appreciate everyone coming out on a little bit short notice. Go over some background on the Shell Dredge being not operable this year. And then I'll run through kind of a abbreviated or sort of a little bit condensed ORP and sort of give you some things to think about. Then we can kind of go back through it again. So I'll run through it pretty quickly with what we're proposing, how we're going to modify it, and then try to get your input on that after I've kind of run all the way through it, if that works for everybody. And then see if we want to change it, modify it, approve it, or go from there. So unless there's any objections to that, I'll go ahead and get started there.
Thank you.
All right. So about 2 weeks ago, I received a phone call from H&L, which is a contracting company out of New York that owns the Shell Dredge. This is the Shell Dredge that's primarily had been referred to as the Langenfelter Dredge there for a while, but it's changed ownership a couple times. And let me get this out of the way. There we go. And they let me know that it basically they were towing it back into their home port, and they got up on a sandbar there, and the dredge was pretty well damaged there, to the point where it's not likely going to be in operation this year. You know, this was the dredge that's been producing shell from these reef shell deposits in the Lower James for a number of years, and prior to that, working up at Tribal Shoal in Upper James River, and prior to that, was working out of Maryland. You know, over the last years, producing about 600,000 to upwards of around 800,000 bushels of shell a year, which is primarily what we've been putting on harvest areas to maintain them, most of that going on to dredge and scrape areas. So that amount of shell is not really an easy thing to come up with in relatively short notice. It's pretty much, you know, there's not another ready source of 500,000 plus bushels of shell ready to go with other competing factors for shell. We've planted house shell close to those volumes before, but that's stockpiling it for years instead of having advance notice, and you're getting hundreds of thousands of bushels at that point. But it's not something that you could get a ready replacement for. And talking to the contractors there, you know, there is some interest in trying to get something back online, you know, in the future. Exactly how soon, don't know, but, you know, if I think they have every intention of maybe not necessarily rebuilding this exact rig, but building something that could work. We have put out the shell dredging request for proposals now. It's possible that another dredge company could build something similar. The dredge itself isn't the unique part of the operation. What really is unique is having the dredge attached to the shell sorting and washing, which is you know, this sort of superstructure there. So the dredge is just sort of a larger hydraulic cutter head dredge. And how it works is it dredges the shell up, mud, sand, sediment, everything, and it pumps it up to this is probably about 60, 70 feet in the air, and it's like a giant French seed sorter or a shaker table, and it washes it, then it goes to two tube sorters and puts it on the side. So that's really the unique feature, is having that tube sorter. So it's possible someone could make one of those, and then the dredge itself is an expensive component in it, but there's nothing particularly unique about it. So again, we put that out for an RFP for this year. We haven't had anybody respond to it yet, but that doesn't close for another couple weeks. So we'll see if there's anyone who's interested in doing that. But at this point, we're going to most likely be doing a smaller than originally proposed replenishment plan. So originally the targeted total was, you know, 417 acres. This included 100 additional acres in Jail Island area. And, you know, as we discussed in detail at the last committee meeting, you know, if there was ever a good year for us to have the shell not available, it's probably been this one. Things are in pretty decent shape. So, you know, what we're likely going to do is just less of those new areas and focus the limited shells that we have available on areas most in need. you know, and the majority of the volume of shells was going to be going on some of these new areas that we showed on that second table there that showed, you know, expansion of the Jail Island seed plant, new areas in the Rappahannock, new areas in the Pocomoke, new areas in Blackberry. So we're likely not going to have the shell available to do these new areas this year. That doesn't mean that we might not do them in the future if the shell becomes available, but that's sort of where we are. And why we're here today is, again, the threat plan is going to be significantly different, just in size primarily, than what was originally approved by both the commission and SMAC. So after this meeting, we'll take the plan back to the commission a week from today to sort of review what is proposed. So I'll go, again, run through things pretty quickly here. I think after the last SMAC meeting, may recall that we sort of approved a smaller-than-average seed planting program focusing on moving seed from that new shell plant in the James River to the Cone River. So normally we've been doing about 20,000 bushels a year, and we approved 5,000 to 7,000. What we'd likely try to do this year is sort of go back up to at least that 20,000 bushel amount. You know, those areas in the Potomac tributaries could be planted with hand tong seed. And then the other 15,000 bushels would primarily come from that Jail Island area. If we do an area over in Pocomoke, sort of those higher salinity areas, we could take just maybe 5,000 bushels off the Nansman Ridge area. You know, not nearly as much as we've been taking off that area where it was 10 to 20,000 bushels. So again, sort of spread that out a little bit. Not overutilize any one of these resources, but look at moving this seed from those areas. And again, what we talked about before was potentially areas in the York River, area 7 and 8 in the Rappahannock, you know, that did get a season extension. Look at kind of boosting that up a little bit. Then one area in the Pocomoke Sound there with that, as well as that Potomac tributary with that hand. You know, there's a chance that if there's more demand for seed, there might be a little bit more of a price increase. So we're, you know, acknowledging that likely the per unit price, if we have a smaller plan, might be a little bit higher for some of these projects. If there's more of a demand and there's less shells to go around and we have a little bit more funding. I think we had set the price for a seed at $15. I mean, if we went up to $15.50 or $16 for that for some of the hand tong seed, you know, I think we'd be okay paying that if it made sure that we were getting folks interested in doing that. We can come back to that later. But that would be sort of the proposal for seed, is go back up closer to that 20,000 bushel area, primarily from the Jail Island shell plant, up to 5,000 bushels from Nansman Ridge, and then 6,000 or 7,000 hand tong seed in that sort of range. Shell planting is really where the majority of these changes are going to come in. We're just going to have less shells available. So every year the division sends out notices to shucking houses if they're interested in selling shells to the state. We got responses from just two shucking houses for a total of 40,000 bushels, and we've heard from another shucking house that they have somewhere in 5,000 to 10,000 bushel range available. So that's what we know of today that's available, is roughly 50,000 bushels of shell. There may be more available. We haven't put anything out for notice or bid or reached directly out for more shells. You know, it's likely we could probably go up on that a little bit, but how much, I wouldn't anticipate getting much more than maybe 100,000 bushels of shell from that source for this year. Again, we'll try to get the most amount of shell for the least amount of funding. And it's going to be a combination of house shell, that reef shell, where fossil shell isn't going to be available, and likely with you know, a limited number of shells available, the price point had been about $550, but probably that $650 is going to be the top range, you know, if we're looking at house shell and some of these dredge shells. The areas that we had planned on focusing on, in the approved plan, were areas in Upper Rappahannock, Pocomoke Sound, and Blackberry Hangs in terms of expansion, as well as Wreck Shoals and Jail Island. So most of that is likely going to be out for shell planting. So we're really going to be focusing this year on that first point, which is focusing on areas that are in the most need of shell that have seen the most effort. And that's mostly going to be Area 2 and 4 in the Rappahannock, as well as Blackberry Hangs, Great Wicomico area there. But there's a limited number of shell that's likely going to be cost-effective to be planted up in those locations. So focus, on again, on the most areas most in need. These are sort of points to talk about once we get through the plan is, you know, any other areas that have seen the most effort. We did have some season extensions there. If there's any other questions or concerns, and we do have a number of areas that are already permitted for alternative substrate, but we can look at, I wouldn't say go completely switch over to stone everywhere, but we can do some larger test plants potentially in the upper Rappahannock on some of those firmer bottom areas there. And again, shifting some of these areas that we weren't necessarily going to plant with seed this year, such as Area 7 and 8 and Area 10 in the Pocomoke Sound area, to seed rather than shell this year. We had as a sort of smaller portion of the plan, some Eastern Shore shell dredging, and I've talked to the longtime contractor over there. What we had intended to do this year was complete a project in Pungateague and then do an additional seaside planting location. So we'll still plan on doing that, but also look at expanding the planting some shells in the Saxis Pocomoke area. So they likely can get an additional 30 to 40,000 bushels for planting this year on top of what they've already got and have started planting. And then look at stockpiling another 30 to 50,000 bushels for use in 2027. So that's something they can catch from a shell deposit on the Eastern Shore using a very large, got a picture of it there. Yeah, a very large oyster dredge, and they can stockpile those shells over the winter, and then we can use them for next year, and that gives us another source of shells as well. They might be able to scale that operation up a little bit. I don't think it's going to get up to the 800,000 bushel shell per year level, but you know, maybe 100,000, 150,000 bushels a year could come from those sources. So again, that's what we'd propose to do to sort of expand that footprint for use primarily on the Eastern Shore. It's just more cost effective to catch them over there and plant them on that side, both on the bay side and seaside, rather than potentially look at trucking them across the Bay Bridge Tunnel or taking them by boat further up these areas. We talked and included in the plan, you know, sort of options to go all the way up for large-scale stone planting, which we have done on a large-scale level before. So we planted hundreds of acres in stone before, but this has primarily been on restoration bottom that is relatively sandier rather than muddier or clay. It has a much lower density of oysters. So if we expanded this into harvest areas, we'd want to be cautious. We wouldn't want to go right on top of sort of the softer, more shell-appropriate rocks with oyster rocks with rocks, but focus on areas that are firmer, harder. We've done some good plants in the Rappahannock area too, so we would likely focus on replanting the areas in area two that we've already done with stone. And then we have some existing permitted areas that we could do some, you know, 5-10 acre test plants, look at getting those areas expanded for this year. But we're not talking about all of a sudden planting 500-600 acres with rocks every single year. Maybe we could get to that at some point, but we want to be sort of cautious with that approach, understanding that we're likely to have the shell dredge again soon, and that a lot of the areas that we're currently monitoring and surveying might not be the most appropriate use, but look at expanding this where appropriate this year and then doing some test plants as well. Again, what we'd approved was maintaining some sanctuaries in the Rappahannock and the previously approved permitted work in Mobjack Bay. And what we're looking at now is expanding some larger scale test locations in new areas such as Upper Rappahannock, Pocomoke Sound, Lower James River, and then work on replenishing the existing stone plants and harvest areas in the lower Rappahannock here, too. I went through that pretty quickly, but that's sort of roughly what we'd be looking at is, you know, somewhere in 100,000 or so bushels rains of shell, maybe 150,000 if you count the dredge shell, depending on what becomes available. Prior to this, we were talking in the 500,000 or 600,000 bushel range, but a lot of that was going into these shell plants. Again, the areas that we focus on with the shell are primarily areas 2 and 4 in the Rappahannock, as they had the most boats that are in the need based on that survey. Expanding the stone or alternative substrate in appropriate areas, looking at the shell dredging, traditional dredging operation on the eastern shore, and expanding that, as well as doing some alternative substrate and increasing the seed planting back up to that 20,000 bushel level. So you're looking at, you know, about scale-wise, about a third of the size of the plan that we would normally do. There were some questions last time about funding-wise, and that funding does roll over currently in budget language, so it's, unless there's a change, it doesn't go anywhere, so that's available for use for other restoration replenishment projects as they make themselves, as they become available, or as they're determined what they're going to do with that. So that's what we've got, and I'd be glad to kind of go back through that if you'd like, and we can discuss it in more detail.
Andrew, Great Wicomico, you didn't mention anything on that.
We talked about Blackberry and Great Wicomico there, you know, if they're areas most in need, but we only have about, right now, that has been sort of anecdotally spoken for, about 5,000 bushels of shell available there.
Okay.
Which would, you know, kind of give you a little bit of boost to, I think Blackberry was open the longest as a standalone area.
How about seed?
It's been a higher recruitment area there, so there wouldn't, you know, it's a pretty high recruiting area, the Great Wicomico, so seed, there is some seed available there, but, you know, that comes from, you know, areas that haven't been replanted with shell like we have in Jail Island and the seed plant areas there.
Yeah, I was wondering if any of that could be used in the Virginia tributaries on the Potomac, you know, as opposed to hauling it all the way from James River.
Well, I mean, you know, if typically when we remove, those are much, much smaller areas, so you're talking the seed bars up there are 10 to 20 acres, whereas what we planted on Jail Island is, you know, 50, 60 acres, and Ansman, we probably planted 150 acres close to it there, so it's a much larger area that's already been planted with shell, whereas the seed areas in the Great Wicomico weren't continuing to produce seed when we were planting 2 bushels of shell back for every bushel that was removed with the dredge. So that's why we stopped that program. We don't have the shell this year to replenish them if we dredged it off. So it could be an option for hand-hauling seed potentially, as it's, you're like not likely to need the level of shell to put it back. But I'm not sure if, you know, then you're looking at, you know, $14, $15 a bushel for that.
I got you. Got one more question, if you don't mind. Have you researched, have you heard of 3D printed oyster shells?
I've talked to some of the folks up in Maryland who've kind of talked about that. I don't know the scale or the details.
Right, yeah.
How, I mean, it sounds good, but 800,000 bushels is a whole lot of 3D shells.
Yeah, and I've been trying to do a little bit of research on it, but the guy, I haven't been able to reach the owner of the company yet. The company called Natrex, N-A-T-R-X, and they can do it, you know, but I don't know quantities, I don't know price, anything, you know. So as I find a little more about it, I'll let you know, but it may be an option for a small amount, you know.
Oh, and just for the record, do we want to mention Mike Shackelford, Gloucester, joined us? Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Nice to see you. Corey.
Andrew, so when you all reach out to the oyster houses for house shell, do you, in that body, that letter, do you put a price into that for them?
No. What it says in code is the prevailing market price, which the commission set just recently at $3 on the pile. So that's then plus planting. So.
Okay. Is there, since we're, you know, we have extra budget now because we're not going to get these, the reef shells, Is there a way we can reach back out and incentivize a larger number to them to, you know, because in my opinion, house shells strike better than reef shells. I mean, I see it with my eyes. I think most everybody here would agree with that.
Well, I think the survey doesn't agree with that in terms of that being demonstrably and provably the case. I mean, house shells and reef shells perform different years, but overall, it's just factually incorrect.
Okay. Well, I misspoke. Apologize. But can we still look into possibly upping the dollar figure on that and getting something instead of completely losing out on the reef shells?
You know, anything we can do, we can put out requests for bids, requests for proposals that allow that price to be set by those bids. So we have that as an option to set the price or put it out for bid. I think, you know, it's one of those things, if we don't need a ton of shell, I'd be hesitant to, if say we wanted to try to buy $4 million worth of house shell, we could buy $4 million worth of house shell, but I don't think we'd have 800,000 bushels for $4 million. So, you know, I think I would be cautious about, maybe the committee has input on what a price point top end would be that, you know, on that side of things. I think we're acknowledging that we're likely not going to be able to plant things for $5.50 a bushel, $6.50 a bushel if you're, you know, that seems like a reasonable price point based on just sort of what we've been on reef shell in the past and what other folks are getting for house shell when they're getting the oysters back, those sort of things. So I'm not sure if there's committee input on that, but I'd be hesitant to, you know, for example, be willing to pay $10, $12, $15 a bushel for house shell. That seems like it wouldn't necessarily be the best use of these funds.
Yeah, I think we need to be competitive with Maryland. I think that's his main stumbling block. You know, they could sell to Maryland for a certain price. We're certainly going to have to match that to be able to get to house shells, you know. I don't know what everybody else thinks on that, but I mean, that seems to be the deciding factor.
Well, we've always been hesitant to sort of get into that back and forth between Maryland and Virginia with a bidding war for house shell because we've had this for an option. So it's one of those things, if we go to $6, Maryland goes to $7, and how high does it go? And I think we can see what it is and see what the bid is there and put it out and see what a number it comes back with and make that determination on if it's reasonable or not. And again, the resource is in pretty good shape right now as well. So,
would like a 5,000 or 6,000 bushel donation help at all? With, I mean, I know it would help a little bit, but that's probably such a small drop in the bucket. I mean, we. And would there be any opportunities if it was a donation for there to be a match that would be helpful in any way for having more money or resources?
I mean, we are set up to be able to accept donations, so I think we'd have to probably work the approvals on there, but that's something that you know, we've been able to do for our artificial reef program for materials, and we're set up to be able to accept monetary donations, so shells or something. It's just a matter of then paying to plant those shells, which presumably would be less than if we had to buy them as well. What are the committee's thoughts on increasing the seed planting portion of that? So I know we kind of went through that, but is there any discussion before we jump into where are we going to get more shells? But does that seem fairly reasonable for, you know, looking at going back up to the 20,000 bushels of seed with a combination of those areas in the James River, focusing on Jail Island and then Hantong areas for the cone?
I would have to say take every bit of it you can off of Jail Island if you can't put any shells back on Nansman Ridge. Mm-hmm. There's no need to damage a resource that's functioning to move it somewhere else when you have no hope of replenishing it.
Well, I don't think we have no hope.
Little hope. Little hope. And one question I have, has there been or is there any way that any of this money set in the budget can be securely held to incentivize a contract down the road so that if this thing does get rebuilt, that there is an incentive to rebuild or a more means of them recouping their investment to, like, say, fund 2 months worth of dredging in 2027 versus the 6 weeks that we normally do, or so that they could come double their output, so to say, and recoup some of their investment to, again, encourage a carrot in front of them to encourage getting something done, because it's, as we discussed in the last meeting, this fossil shell resource is the lifeblood of this industry. That's why we were so determined to get down to Craney Island and all the other things that we discussed last time. And it is known this is the only rig on the East Coast to do this. There is, yes, somebody could try and retrofit something, but what's the incentive? So is there some way to incentivize this getting back functioning so that we can take advantage of this resource that we have under the bottom?
Well, I think the short answer is yes. Right now in budget language, that funding continues to roll over. So if we don't spend it this year, it rolls over to next year. If we don't spend that next year, it rolls over the year after.
I understand. What I'm saying is, can it be specifically earmarked for fossil shell? Whether you take, if there's $5 million there and you're going to spend $2 million this year, can you take $3 million and specifically earmark it for that so that you can make the promise that upon your rig being come back and built, we've got the full million from next year, coming up year, plus $3 million from this year. And these are just numbers. But to say we've got $7 million to spend with you, come dig till you use up the $7 million, you catch up from last year you missed, and it's an incentive for them to move forward with an expensive project on their end.
I think that's something that VMRC couldn't do at our level. It would be budget legislation to do that. It's certainly something the commission could approve, likely.
That's kind of where I'm at. Is this is an annual plan approved by both this committee and the commission. So if we cannot approve something larger than the value that we already have. So if the commission was to approve in 2027 and they wanted to say, hey, let's ramp up this project in 2027, and they approve X amount of $1 million specifically for fossil dredge shell, that's something they could approve in 2027. But it would be difficult to approve it now in 2026.
Well, and just a thought, and I'm throwing it out there, and maybe it's too far out there, but being as we're adjusting this plan now to spend more thousands of dollars or millions of dollars or wherever it falls on stone or seed or whatever, could you simply say we'll spend $2 million to rebuild the rig? It's all part of the replenishment plan. Without the piece of equipment, you don't have the replenishment. And again, it's no different than adjusting it from putting shells over to putting stones over.
I guess I'm trying to, the question there is, could the state rebuild the rig, or could...
Could you take some of this funding for replenishment and put it towards rebuilding?
Don't know that we could just give it to a private contractor, for example.
Well, obviously, there would be contractual obligations if you did, no different than you're giving it to them to dig, mm-hmm. with the contractual obligation that they're going to dig them and plant them.
Mm-hmm. That would be a question we'd have to probably run through Department of Budget and Planning and our own internally here to sort of see if that would even be feasible. I haven't heard of anything like that being done, but...
Well, all I'm getting at is this resource that has been so important for all these years is going to sit there for an eternity if there's not a piece of equipment to get it.
Well, I think, there's definitely the sort of understanding of the resources there. We have the permits to go get it. there's understanding that if we don't spend $4 million on stone or seed or house shell this year, then that money is available for next year. So there's at least that assurity for anyone that, you know, anything that isn't spent this year rolls over to next year, plus that money that's in the budget now.
Can this committee make a motion to set aside $2 million, $3 million of this year's replenishment for next year house shells, contingent on the rig being the reef shells and the rig being back up to dredging?
I think that seems fair, that we could sort of limit the total dollar amount of this year's plan with the understanding that we'd like it to be available for reef shell next year. I think that's a reasonable recommendation.
You'll be back next year, so you'll have to react to the availability of the dredge and everything like that, but I think it's reasonable to say, like, this year we want to do a limited plan with X amount of things in here, not to exceed this threshold for next year, but we're going to be back in the same room revisiting this next year with the resources we have available anyway, so you'll get another crack at it, but I do think it's reasonable to, and whatever we approve here is going to have a limitation on price anyway, that the best things that kind of limit price are what we're paying for overboard price and what we're paying for bushels anyway. What are those limit on the market value that we're willing to do?
Sure. What I'm just trying to do to is, like Ben said, give them some incentive so they see that we are, you know, holding it back, you know, the incentive to actually rebuild the dredge, or somebody to. I don't know why it's doing that.
Andrew, as far as you know, the dredge is going to be rebuildable.
A dredge will be rebuildable. I don't know if the dredge in its current
that
form,
okay.
I haven't seen it, but in talking to the owners, you know, it's, I don't know, there's other ways that it could be done in a similar way that might be more cost effective than trying to rebuild something of that age.
Are there other entities that are hoping that it does get fixed sooner than later, or is Virginia the loudest voice?
Does Maryland use it?
No, there aren't. I'm aware of no other states that have a permit for shell resource. I mean, Maryland had been working on a permit what do they call it, Man of War Shoal there, but there was various conflicting user groups, and it hasn't happened. As far as I know, we're the only state that has an existing permit authorization that has this type of program.
Jackie. Just for reference, there's a huge shell deposit at Man of War Shoal off Kent Island, and there was some issues with striped bass spawning, I believe. And I believe CBF and CCA, don't quote me on that, but I believe that they were the ones that stopped the shell dredging up there due to the striped bass spawning.
I'll see if I can find out more about that, especially in light of what's going on. Thank you for that.
I mean, definitely on that point, having potentially another place local to use it could incentivize someone to rebuild.
Yeah, don't let Maryland buy it away from you.
We used to buy shell from Maryland.
I'm talking about the rig.
So I mean, that is something that you know, you could set a cap of whatever it was that we kept aside from this year's general funds for use for next year's replenishment plan. That's something, you know, the easy numbers are that $4 million in general funds. The rest of that funding, a lot of that sort of federal funding and tied up, that'd be the easiest state funding to split up that's available for this project this year, is that $4 million number.
All right, so with the $4 million, I mean, let's...
What's the cost of what you've got drawn up here?
It's not an.
But it was a third of the scale. What's the price tag?
It's a little bit variable depending on what we do, but it's probably, you know, in that $1.5 million range, I would say, to two. mean, that depends a lot on how much stone. That could go up a little bit. I don't think stone-wise that we'd be doing, you know, millions of dollars of stone, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars of stone. So, again, probably in that range in terms of using that general fund.
What does the stone cost?
Again, it's anywhere from $76 to around $90 a ton, depending on the size and deployment method and scope there. And just
excuse my ignorance, but how does that extrapolate out to a bushel cost so you can compare?
80 tons is about 1,000 bushels. So it's about 1.4 tons per cubic yard. Per cubic yard, 15.5 bushels. So roughly 80 or so tons, 80 to 90 tons equals 1,000 bushels of shell.
So 80 tons at $50. What'd you say, $50?
Like 70 to 90 a ton deployed. So, I mean, it's sort of the equivalent of paying $7 to $8 per bushel for shell.
But you'll pay $3 for house shells.
That's on the pile. I mean, you get a ton of rocks for your driveway, and you're in that $21 to $42 range. I've learned a lot about aggregate over the years. And I guess the other thing with rocks is they don't degrade the same way shells do, so you lose them by them getting carried off or them sinking. But once they're on the bottom, you know, shells will disappear naturally, and about half of them in 4 years in Virginia, whereas rocks are much more permanent. And again, if you go up in scale, you might bring that economy of scale down considerably there.
What are the statistics for spat set on rocks compared to reef shells?
I mean, what we really see from, I don't have a side-by-side comparison, but what you're looking at there is that 57 stone, the common stuff you see in gravel, and basically every place where a spat could stick to it, sticks to it. So that was from a shell plant in the Rappahannock from 2014, I want to say, 2013 maybe, in that time frame. And when the spat are there and there's good substrate on the bottom, it, on a larger scale, you know, when you're talking acres, tens of acres, it's, you know, statistically very similar. So it really doesn't matter whether it's house shell, whether it's rocks, whether it's concrete, whether it's vitreous china, also known as toilet bowls. Like, if the spat are there, they'll attach to it. So if you did it in a lab or in a, you know, on a, in a setting tank, you might get different answers, but if you did it 1,000 times in a spat on shell tank, it probably doesn't really matter that much. So it's comparable. You're seeing, if the spat are there, you can see the equivalent of 1,200 spat per bushel, no problem on rocks. If they're not there, they're just not there. So.
Thank you.
Sort of the real limiting factor on rocks is just suitability. I mean, you can plant shell in that sort of clay, sand, softer bottom, and it'll stay on top. And these, you can, but they'll start, even if they do get a strike, they'll start kind of pulling down after a time. So they need to be on that sandier side to stay up.
Have you looked at the factor of sanding and putting stone on that? Is there any problems with that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you have the same problems you would with shell. So you don't want sand. You're talking like sandy, stable sand is what I call, like sort of that edge where it's the sandier side of mud, but, you know, there's oysters that are living there. They're not getting constantly coated over. So that live sand just, you could probably build a stone reef there and it might stay there for 6 years, but after that it would probably get, depending on the area, sanded up. I mean, you've seen anyone on their depth sounder or seen underwater sand dunes you see on some of those large spots. So not talking about those areas, okay. But stable, hard bottom is what I characterize it as.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, a lot of what we've done on the stone plants is we've gotten pretty decent at picking these areas, and a lot of times you'll have an oyster rock that's softer, and then you'll get to a sandier edge that used to have shells on it, and you know, maybe you did get a little bit of sanding, but it's kind of right on the edge, and those are the areas that we've targeted pretty successfully over the years with that sand, is sort of that outer edge. Well, good questions. I know it's a lot to contemplate there. So other than objections to Nansman Ridge, does the committee have any more thoughts on that, getting that back up to that 20,000 bushel range? So, and putting those on area 7 and 8 in the Rappahannock Potomac tributaries and looking at a spot there over at Pocomoke Sound.
I would just add at that level, I think I would like to see some disease testing, given the mouth of Carter's Creek is 20 parts today and the limited amount of rain we're getting. I just would like to be cognizant of what the disease levels are. I know our most recent show, you know, low dermo infections, but that was in the Rappahannock, so it just am a little nervous. I would be with my own money of moving, you know, a lot of seed and with disease in it, given the salinity levels that we're at today.
We can definitely consult with Vims and Ryan Carnegie's group on make sure we're going from like-to-like areas. They've been doing some expanded disease testing here recently in some areas, and can coordinate with them on that to make sure we're going from like to like, or that minimize that concern there.
What would you anticipate the cutoff date that we've just done what we can do and we need to stop?
In terms of actually stuff going overboard this
seed,
year?
Yeah.
Oh, for seed? You know, I think I would really not like to go into May to June, really, on a lot of that. I think you get a kind of diminishing return if you're moving seed that late in the year. We've always tried to do it, you know, in April and May, and then, you know, move on to other things in June. You have issues with temperature and stressing things out during transport, as well as, you know, cow nose ray predation when you start planting seed, when they start showing up. And they were early last year, but I don't know. We'll see what the water temps do this year. So, but that would be typical time frame, try to get the majority of the seed done in May and June, or excuse me, April and May.
From my understanding, what I saw, as far as area 8 in the Rappahannock, I really, unless we're going to expand some areas up there, I don't think that it really needs any seed. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a dredge. The last day, it was a dredge full every day. I mean, you know, every lick. So, as far as 7, I'm pretty sure there's some places on that that could use some replenishment with seed. But again, back to what Tommy said, just we have to be careful with the disease.
We are planning on resurveying Area 7 and 8. I think we're hoping to get out next week, so we don't have that information yet. But we'll be able to kind of assess, and we can look at targeting that or give you an update sort of through email, rather than try to have another meeting if there's areas that are low. But again, you know, I think we understand that if the area's got 14 liters of shell and oysters everywhere, you're not going to notice 10,000 bushels of seed sprinkled over Area 7 and 8 anyway. So.
Yeah, I know the last 3 days I worked above the punch bowl, probably mile above it, maybe most of the fleet that was there was 20, maybe 25 boats there. And it was starting to thin out because everybody started down below, you know, between Waterview and Smoky Point, and kind of moved up. And the fleet kept moving up every week or so, you know, and it was still good dive, but you were getting in some areas that had mud, you know, and you didn't catch. You had to kind of look around a little bit, you know. So, but it was still a lot of area from there up into what do you call it, McHale's Bay,
McCain's Bay.
Yeah, McCain's Bay, up in that area there on that end. I call it the Middlesex side shoal, you know, up there. But it was some of them guys were leaving in an hour and a half. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
So you're saying that Area 7 likely had a little bit more effort?
Need for it, yeah.
Area 8 had the extension, but that was 2 weeks. And
mm-hmm. So. Yeah, eight's so large, you know, it was spread out. You know, some there, was some over at Manuskin, and was some up off the duck line, you know, up in that area up there. It was a small fleet up there. So it never was any heavy congregation of boats, which... I mean, Great Wicomico was good, so they were there. Potomac was pretty good, you know. A lot of boats stayed up there, so I think that was in James River, you know. It was just a good mix of boats, you know. I mean, it was a good year for that. I mean, it wasn't crowded by any means.
Yeah, Area 8, even with it open in the first part, then the extension, never had the pressure on it that it had in, you know, years past.
No.
I mean, those are good problems to have, is that the areas don't need things to be larger. So. All right. And I think, Don, if you're still on mute there, we were talking about seed there, and if there's any need for seed over there in Pocomoke. We hadn't agreed that there was last time around. We wanted to go with shell, and I think we do have an option for some shell over there this year, so we can save that funding for shell rather than seed over there as well. Hey, Don. Hey, if you're there, Don, hit *6. You can unmute yourself. Oh, there you go. We got you, Don.
How about you now?
Yep, yeah, we hear you.
Got you now, got me now. Well, look, I mean, we're pretty good over here, Andrew. I mean, everywhere I've seen, got plenty of oysters. I don't like turning nothing down, but actually, we don't need it right now.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll focus on shell.
I mean, you're talking about seed, right?
Yep.
No shells?
Yeah, seed right now, yep.
No, I think, I think we're fine as far as that. So maybe another year if we can get something going here.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, that leaves us, potentially looking at Area 7 if it needs it. You can kind of look at the survey there and then focusing on... that Potomac tributary like we did before. York River, that Hantong area there, could use a little bit, but we do have some shell available for that area too. So we can still look at that. But are there any thoughts on York River areas?
Well, I would say the sea, but mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you about my opinion on the sea. I'm not... Yeah, but the seed planting it in May, I got ground up there and I'm planting it in May. Mm-hmm. You go back, ain't nobody took it. The stingrays go in there and they're going to it. No matter where you take the seed in, they're here, they're coming in here right now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to destroy it.
Yeah.
But
no,
it's not like in James River, because you're taking something completely different and the adopt, it's got to adopt to where you moved it from, and automatic they'll go right on top of that, and they will take that and
destroy
it. It's gone. Mm-hmm. You will think it's I planted boatload after boatload, and I went there, and it's gone, and nobody took it, and it didn't sink, because I plant them in the fall, and they're fine. Mm-hmm. But planting seed, and I want the seed. Believe me, I want seed marking, mm-hmm. but I'm gonna tell you, you cannot wait and plant that. In the later months, mm-hmm. seed oysters got to be planted when the water's a little bit cooler before they come in here, because they will come there right automatically, going to drop right on that, because I'll haul sane, and I'll beat to my chest.
You've seen them.
Now, hey, the bottom is flat as this. 1 week's time, 2 days' time, go back there, I'll go from here to my knees. That's how bad they destroy things. And that's, yes, I want seed mark. Yes, I love doing it. But you can throw your money away at it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I got another opinion about all this stuff. It's enough seed in James Rover. James Rover really took care of the whole Chesapeake Bay at one time,
mm-hmm.
years back.
Mm-hmm.
And it is enough that has never been touched since I was a kid. So all these options, you got enough seed there to plant all the Chesapeake Bay and Maryland, and never can hurt, because it's rocks that no one has ever touched in 30 years I know of. But that's just my opinion on doing it. It's the other ways of looking at things. And then the seed, you got the hand tong. How many bushels did you say that would be for a hand tong?
Right now, the spring quota is, for this one, 6,000 to 7,000 bushels. Yeah, 6,000 or 7,000 is what we had in the original plan there.
But when you plant, you need to plant, but you need to get, that needs to be started in April, mm-hmm. not wait till May if you're going to put it somewhere. It's got to have time for it. When they come in there, they'll draw it automatic to that, and they will destroy it. It's gone.
Yeah, yeah. April's almost here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not very long.
Now, we've always tried to cut off seed planting. You know, if we go into May, May 15th has been sort of our cutoff. We don't want to get into late May, and May 15th is kind of...
Yeah, like I said, even to the drudging, when you're moving it, they're going for that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts on the York River?
York River, I mean, whatever you're going to do, that needs to be done early, not in May. If you're going, you know, I mean, the shells is a different thing, but the oysters and the seed is different.
Well, we can see what we can get done in May and have, in April, and we can have, that's another limiting factor on the size of it is, you know, we can put out some notices and have a cutoff date. It's a little bit of time, but there won't be a whole lot that could get done and put a notice out on April 1st, be out for a few days and folks get together. It'll only give you a couple weeks to work. We probably still have to keep a cutoff of May 15th with ideally getting things done by April, you know, into April. Any more on seed? I mean, we don't have to take a vote on it. I think we kind of absorbed a lot, but with the shell planting side of things, you know, we come up with this. So I'm hearing is, you know, again, there's not a lot of areas that are in a lot of need, but areas 2 and 4 in the Rappahannock seem to be, based on the survey and effort this year, in the most need. And we have a limited number of shells, so basically focusing on those areas would use up basically what's been spoken for the most part. You know, we have some that we could plant in other areas that are in need. We talked about Bobjack in the last time. We can plant house shells conveniently there because we have some available. But my understanding is there are some concerns about that using even the reef shells, so we could shift those to maybe we could get some over economically in the Rappahannock if we need to, or we could put some of those on Aberdeen, you know, that area there to give that area a little bit of a boost in the York River. It hasn't been planted with shell in a while. Any thoughts on that?
I definitely, I mean, I think 2 and 4 in the Rappahannock, you know, we have not had good luck with my opinion. I mean,
Scratch that. Yep.
I think we could all probably agree on that one for the time being. And
okay.
Yeah, and area four, Drummond Ground. I mean, it's a plenty of stuff on the bottom of it. You know, it's just small. Didn't grow any from the previous opening. So, don't know what the answer is there. I mean, I'm sure we could use some there, but especially the inshore at Moffat Curitoma, that was worked pretty hard. And but I don't know, Tommy. I mean, it is a lot of stuff on the bottom of it.
I think definitely not offshore Drummond Ground, but probably the Coratomin of the areas that are the most in need there, and that would, I mean, that could probably eat up 20,000 bushels of shell between the areas in Coratomin, and if we had some additional left over there, Drummond Ground inshore, you know, and it wouldn't be heavy planting on those areas. You know, there's 30 acres on the Coratomin areas together right there, and another 30 just on the that inshore Drummond Ground, and right now we have, we only have that 60 bushels right there, or 60 acres right there just in those areas, and like I said, we have about 45,000 bushels of shell spoken for now. We might be able to get a little bit more, but how do you use that up? Okay. So I'm here in Area 2 and 4 in Rappahannock is the focus of shell planting. I mean, the James River has been pretty spread out. There's not a lot of areas that are I need over there, and there's not that many trucking houses that could easily get shell there or the cost that we can plant Rappahannock and Great Wicomico in some of these areas. So I don't think there'd be any focus there unless I'm hearing overwhelming support for a particular area there. I think we probably use things up mostly in the Rappahannock there this year.
Tommy?
Maybe it would be better after we finalize this this portion of the thing.
And I mean, really, what it is, if that chart, you know, it's going to stay unchanged, but we're really just going to see how many shells we can get and prioritize the areas that are most in need on that, and it's just going to cut out some of those areas that are were open but are in good shape. So, I mean, like Area 4, for example, we have Ferry Rock is targeted. It was in pretty good shape on the survey, probably not going to plant it. So it's just, you look at that list, we'll see how many shells we can get, and then we work from harvest areas with the house shell from worst to the to better and sort of make the cut that way as you focus on the areas that are seeing the most effort and are in the most need. And what we've seen on that chart, what I'm hearing from you, is that's 2 and 4, and that kind of all lines up with likely the amount of shells that we need in the areas that are going to be most in need of shell. That's really all I have in terms of the proposal. I mean, I guess on the alternative substrate, you know, we haven't talked about limiting that, but in terms of dollar amounts, I doubt we're going to get over, like I said, you know, depends on how many house shells we get, but we're not going to sink $4 million into stone this year in harvest areas. We're probably looking in that $500,000 to $750,000 range, maybe a little bit higher, but not tons of money going into rocks this year. And that's mostly on the areas in Area 2 that we've already planted with the rock, and then looking at some, maybe some test areas if we find some suitable areas, but we're not talking about 50, 180-acre stone plants. So sort of maybe look at doing some test sites in the upper areas. But mostly focus that on the harvest areas in Area 2 that we've already done with stone and give those a boost, and then the restoration projects we do as planned.
All right, with all that being said, you said that the plan that you've put in front of us here is going to be in the $1.5 to $2 million range. General funds are $4 million. Mm-hmm. I, again,
I would just like to see $2 million saved for the contingency of reef fossil shells on the dredge, incentive for the dredge to come back online and go back to work. Mm-hmm. Just for the record. Do I need to put that in a motion, or should I put that in a motion?
I've got one, just some numbers, and I was looking at $4.5 million versus the $4 million. But if you plant your 20,000 bushels of seed at 300,000, spend 700,000 on house shells, and spend $500,000 planting rocks, that leaves $3 million to set aside for contingency of the dredge. Excuse me. At least $2.5 million. Excuse me.
That being said, I don't know. I'm sure you want some sort of cushion there as well, because it's not set in stone.
Yeah, I think with that Eastern Shore project, we have. I mean, if we go ahead and stockpile, you know, increase that, you know, that's another $700,000 potentially over on that side that I don't think we added up there. So that's the.
But for the sake of arguing, does that outweigh incentivizing getting the fossil dredge back and getting hundreds of thousands of bushels every year? I mean, again, that fossil shell project has been touted and spoke of in every forum, in every aspect of oyster replenishment in the state of Virginia for 30 years. And just letting it potentially slip aside seems awful foolish to me. I mean, that's my opinion.
I agree.
Bobby?
What is the stockpile price in sacks that you're anticipating or estimated per bushel for this?
It's been about $3, $3.50 for stockpiling, for catching them, putting them on the pile there.
And that would be transported to the bayside?
That's stockpile price. It's been about $2 to $3.50 a bushel for stockpiling. So that's catching it, putting on land, and then planting has been additional cost.
And you would anticipate transportation costs to get it from?
Right, yeah. It's definitely, you know, it's a higher price overboard than some other sources because it's been smaller contracts and sort of trickier plant areas there, yeah.
Well, I guess on the excess money, you know, since we are able to carry it over to next year, like Ben was saying, if it's any kind of way we can earmark that for the dredge to have it in our back pocket, so to speak, and I don't know what the best procedure would be to do that, but we got whatever the numbers come out to be. If it's $2 million, let's carry it over. You know, if we can make a point of some kind of way identified as being available for the dredge or reconstruction of the dredge, you know, I think would be a good idea too.
You want to go ahead?
I'll go ahead. I was going to say when we finish this discussion, but I think we're probably at a point that later this, you know, within the next 6 months, we need a strategic plan on where we go, and I think the likelihood that you will have a dredge next year, my limited experience with construction and shipyards and boats and right now steel being at an all-time high in cost, if the word was given today that we're going to build a new dredge and we're going to start, to have something done in 2 years, I think would be,
of course,
it would.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I'm all for it. I agree. Anything we can do and incentivize, but I guess the sooner the later, and a strategic plan to know that if they say this is just more than, I mean, we all know what it costs to do anything now. I mean, this is going to be a major investment going forward, and we've let our alternatives fall by the wayside, and I think we probably have to have some serious discussions of. And the second thing, if a dredge is built that's multi-purpose, then we're going to be in the world of competing with. If they build a dredge that's able to do channels or civil work, we're going to be in a position where we're going to be bidding against other work opportunities. And obviously, if they invest this much money, I would think they're going to be looking at what other opportunities are there other than just this. So it is deeply concerning, and I would be thrilled if we're sitting here next year at this time with a dredge on scene and ready to go.
Andrew.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I agree with Ben. I mean, this dredge has got us where we are today. I mean, it's the best thing we ever had. We need to focus on getting it fixed or figuring out something, some way to get another dredge or whatever. I mean, to me, that's the best thing we can do right now.
Nope. I think we hear you. I mean, you know, money is the ultimate incentive for things, so if there's a cap on it, then that makes more money available. And to your point, JC, that's something that this committee can take action on. Is I think you guys can at least, you can make any recommendation you want. We can take that to the commission. It doesn't make legislation happen, but.
Is there a cap on the RFP? I'm not even sure if you can do that, but what you have out right now?
We don't set a price on what it is, so. You know, the RFP right now is for shell dredging, so it's not. It's for this project with the shell dredge is what is already out right now. So someone could put in a bid for that today and get started on building a dredge and whip something up in 2 months. I doubt that's going to happen, but that's sort of what's out there right now.
Thank you.
Did anyone want to make a motion on anything? I mean, it's up to you. I mean, that was close there, D.
Well, Lee, but
I don't know how we'd go about making a motion, really. I mean, we've covered so much general stuff, you know.
I think what Lee said, if I'm paraphrasing correctly, was limited the spending of the current fiscal year's general funds to $2 million.
I'm just going to reiterate my point that something needs to be saved. The only incentive to get them down here is the guarantee of work and the guarantee that we'll have the money for them. If they still stand the potential of deciding not to rebuild this thing. I mean, that's very real possibility on the table. And anything we can do to hedge our bet or push them towards the idea of it's a worthwhile investment, that's money as well spent as dumping anything overboard right now. For the future, maybe not for 2026 or 2027, but for now, for the next 25, 30 years, it's the best place to put the money, in my opinion.
Do you want to form it into a motion, Ben?
Yeah. I certainly can. Maybe. I would like to make the motion that we spend, we plant the 20,000 bushels of seed out of James River, spend $700,000 on house shells, spend the $500,000 on rock, and take the remainder of the budget, which is somewhere between $2.5 and $3 million, and earmark it to fossil shells, or however it properly needs to be worded to incentivize a contract or an investment.
I think I can capture that. So that's 2 plus 7 plus 5. And then
is 20,000. Three thousand on the seed, 300,000. Mm-hmm. 700,000 on the house shells, 500,000 on the rock. And then between the 2.5 and 3 million, however exactly the numbers fall, with the exact dollar amount set aside and earmarked for future fossil shell contracts, digging, however it needs to be worded.
I would like to second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Can I just ask a clarifying question? And that is to incentivize extra, I mean, that they will come down and do much more work than they typically do in a season?
That is to incentivize, yes, to okay, have a lot, when the rig hopefully is finished, to have a large number sitting there that they can dig for 2 months or 2.5 months versus their normal time, so that to help them recoup their investment at a quicker rate, as well as obviously give us a faster benefit as well of catching up.
Do you see that, like, any staff bandwidth issues to accomplish that?
There's, I mean, it depends on the scope of the program, and the time frame to do things that make sense biologically is somewhat limited. So, I mean, 2 years of planting, if everything works right in its brand new dredge, probably feasible in that June 1st to July time period when it's ideal. 3, 4, 5 years, less so. But 2 months versus 1 month, I think that's reasonable. But, you know, 4 months versus 1 month, if it just keeps rolling over, that might be logistically hard to complete in 1 year. You might look at multiple year contracts at that point. And again,
if this in the short term helps get a commitment from them that they are truly willing to rebuild, would be well worth the money spent. Mm-hmm. Or set aside, not necessarily spent, but set aside.
And it would incentivize any other person that might be interested in building a similar rig too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see a downside to a multi-year contract to get them, whether it's them or another company going, and then say we got them locked in for the next 2 or 3 years. So during that time period, they're not, if they do get something where they're doing civil contracts and all, they're not.
They're still obligated.
They're still obligated to us during the time period. We would want it. So down the road, I think that's something we should look into as well with whoever, hopefully our dredge company or whatever is done, look into it.
Well, we had a motion and a second on the table. Any further discussion?
And just a point of clarification, that was the currently proposed in the state budget general fund. So that's the $4 million for this year that we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay?
Nay.
Motion carries with one objection.
And I abstain.
And one, Tommy abstains. Thank you.
All right. Well, I mean, that gives a target to work with. So that was, I think a good discussion to have there. Was there anything else on the replenishment plan? I mean, that gives a dollar amount, and we try to get the most amount of shell that we can, and I think that puts some good parameters on us to work with it. Hey, Don, can you hit a star 6 there one more time? Hey. I think, was there anything else on that? I mean, I think that was a good point to have. Again, to your point, Tommy, I think there's going to be a lot of discussions on in the future. sure about strategic planning on this, but we'll be having it at the staff level and get SMAC involved as well.
Other business?
Yeah, I think what we'd added there under other business was had a couple calls come in to staff and myself from harvesters and buyers, a few of them, about any consideration that the committee would like to take up on two areas that came up were season extensions in the James River hand scrape areas that are scheduled to close end of this month. They're still open right now. And then the hand tong areas in the Rappahannock. Let me go all the way to here. So the last month commission meeting, area 8 was reopened in the Rappahannock, and areas in Pocomoke and Tangier Sound, the dredge areas, were extended by 2 weeks. At that time, we talked about extensions in James River, I believe, at the committee level, but came to the conclusion that season for the hand scrape area had already been extended through the month of March, giving you a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.5 week season there. So the committee at that time didn't take any action on that extension. Just for background on Area 9, for many years, I think I don't want to misrepresent things there. This area had the same October to November season as most of the other hand tong areas in the Northern Neck area. And within the last 5 years, we extended that all the way through the month of March because it had limited effort. I mean, there are about 6 boats up there working, but I'd heard that we've received some calls from one or two hand tongers asking about extensions in that area. It's probably half a dozen, 7, 8 boats, maybe on a really good day up there. I'm not sure if effort's picked up since areas are closed, but those were the requests that came in about extensions in those areas.
As far as extensions in those areas, didn't we go over this last year? It's in code that we can't go past March 31st.
That was for patent tong, I think. I think hand tongs.
But James River was the only.
That, for my understanding in code, is the hand tong season can go through
May.
March. May. Or through May. And
through
go
May.
All the way to
yeah.
May. Yeah. The hand tong season. The patent tong season.
What about the hand scrape season?
The hand scrape is not a gear type that's approved by the code.
Regulation.
And is there enough time for this to get onto an agenda if we do propose an extension to commission that we're in the right guardrails of that time frame?
It would be by emergency if it did come before the commission.
That would be the only way we'd have time to do it for this meeting coming up, Tuesday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's, don't have to take any action on it, but asked to make sure that this committee, if they wanted to consider any of those,
I work up in an area. I know some of the guys that are working up there, and due to the fact that the crabbing season is pretty slow getting going this year, the water's pretty cold, and the guys that are up there hand tonging have been doing pretty good there. So I don't have a problem with giving them the month of April. We probably should have done it at the first part of the year, it's a very small fleet, very minimal impact in that particular area. And I know we push hand tonging a lot, so this would definitely keep a few watermen working, in that area. If the market's there for them, I guess that's the biggest thing, I think we have somebody in the audience too who might want to speak.
I'm a Area 9 chief talking myself.
Uh-huh. Come on
up
here.
Can you come on up there?
Yes, sir.
Just if you wouldn't mind just saying your name in there for director.
John Newsom.
Uh-huh.
There's plenty of oysters left up there. There's about 8 to 10 boats working. And we had the big freeze in January, and we had the unstable market also in January. So we'd just like to see April for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole month or 2 weeks?
The month if we could get it.
Yeah. Because
we lost a month of work.
And I guess, of course, you know hand talking. The weather is such a big factor in that, too, right. You know. I mean, then right. Naturally, I'm not going to get the whole month by no means. Right. So.
Anything would be helpful.
Mike?
So Chad Tom is not like drudging. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to work for what you get.
Yeah.
Right.
And you extend everything right. for drudging all the time.
Right.
If you open it through May, James Ripley's open, and Nan's going to be, it was a lot of arse this one.
Mm-hmm.
Nan's going to be probably the best time for anybody making the money.
Right.
Because everywhere else is going to be shut down.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
At which time it could probably tell you now you're going to have one area, James Rowan, Rappahannock is good. I mean, a few people working, you're not going to work no harder than pulling the past shaft on.
Right. It's also not seeing the pressure that the other areas have as well.
Right. So. That's what I'm saying. And another thing I like to speak about, everybody gets every opportunity. Shaft Tongan, why can't we start a little bit early?
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes. I would ask, what does that hurt?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing something that started back in 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
That drudge is a different, whole different yeah. setup. It's not that nobody's trying to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if a man was good at work and you're not throwing him in the crab and not throwing me into something else,
mm-hmm.
you're letting a few people go to work and do it. In which now, probably the buyers would probably use the horses better now than mm-hmm. they could have all year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, John. Well, and later, I'd like to make a motion that we try to get this on the agenda next week as an emergency action that we open up Area 9 for the month of April for hand on.
I know you don't have a crystal ball, but and you know it will be up to the commission, of course. But do you think going with a second request for an extension? I mean, how do you think they'll be postured to that?
Well, different fishery too. We're talking 8 was handwriting, was scraping, you know, and this is handwriting.
Okay.
Right. Two different fisheries all together, really. Okay.
Impact of the actual resources, the least impactful of our gear types.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
Those areas up there are a little bit deeper in some of the hand-tong areas too, and they're long and skinny, and the current rips pretty hard, so it's harder to hand-tong probably in those areas than a lot of spots you can tong in the James River and other areas, but there is a good amount of resource there. They've had good recruitment, record-setting recruitment over the last 3-4 years in those upper areas.
And you're not going to see an influx of boats show up there and all of a sudden want to go hand-tonging. I mean, you look at the history in the last 3, 4, 5 years, I mean, it's, like I say, 5, 6 boats, and that's pretty normal up there. Yeah, Mike?
We was here last year when they wanted to shut Area 8 down. Well, it seemed to be that it was just as good this year as what it's been any year
mm-hmm.
by working on it. So a few people can go to work and still doing good. I don't see why you can't let someone go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a motion by JC on the table to extend for the month of April.
April. Mm-hmm. Area 9.
Any second or further discussion first?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Okay, so what the commission says.
Thank you again for coming out.
Yes, no problem.
Thank you, John.
Any other business? Then that opens to public comments. Then, can I get no other discussion? Just looking for a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed nay? Thank you all so much. Have a good night.
Appreciate it, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, they're not for me.